And we're back. Welcome, everyone. I'm Nick Landry. This
is Jeremy Foster. Still Jeremy Foster.
All right. And this is module 4 of building universal Windows apps with Cortana and a speech SDK. In module 4, we're going to talk about speech recognition in your apps. So this module is a little more high risk, again. We saw how when we talk to Cortana, she doesn't always understand what we say right away, but that's the nature of speech recognition.
It's not just a demonstration of code, it's a demonstration of courage.
Oh yes, definitely. All day, this is all courage, you know? I mean, Joe B does like 10 minutes on stage, we're doing a full day here.
There you go,
I mean,
all day long.
This is great. Okay, so in this module, we're gonna cover speech recognition in your apps, which is a good continuation on what you started in the previous module, where voice commands is basically speech recognition in the operating system itself to then launch your application and provide guidance onto how you wanna launch the application. This time, in this module, so this is module 4 again, we've covered the introduction to Cortana, the speech synthesis to make the phone the device talk. Now, we then covered the Cortana integration and voice commands, which is going to continue in module 6 as well. And then now is speech recognition in your app. So this is basically the third of three more, I would say, technical hands-on modules covering the basics of the speech SDK. So what are we going to cover in this module? In this module, we will start with an understanding of in-app speech recognition and how to get started with the basics. Just like speech synthesis, with not too much code, you can actually easily do speech recognition in your apps using open dictation, and you'll see it's actually quite powerful. Then we're going to look at things like different grammars that we can use, programmatic list grammars and custom SRGS grammars, which is another W3C standard we're going to look at. Then we're going to take a look at optimizing your speech recognition, because speech recognition is one of those things where you're not always getting the results that you want, so how can you tweak your app to make sure that you optimize the quality of the recognition and truly get the user's intent with as little frustration as possible? Then we're going to look at the globalization factor as well, because given that people are going to be speaking in different languages, different accents and everything, how can we define apps that will properly use different language rules and for different audiences around the world? And then finally, again, we're going to do a quick comparison across different platforms. Now, to be clear, this module is mostly just about Windows Phone 8.1 today. As you know, the text-to-speech features were available on both Windows Phone and Windows Store, but the speech recognition and the voice commands is something that's for Windows Phone 8.1 only. But again, it's all coming in Windows 10. So that means in Windows 10, phones and big Windows, desktop, and all these devices should basically have, it's gonna be part of the default SKU of Windows 10 to have support in the SDK for speech recognition and voice commands as well. So first of all, let's get started with a basic understanding of what in-app speech recognition means, how does it differ from voice commands and such. So the way I like to kind of separate it is that in the end, it's all about the user talking to the device, to your application. How does it work? So there's kind of two contexts that we have to respond to. Whenever the user is outside of your app, so they can be in a different app, or they can be inside of the default operating system, if they want to launch your app and talk to it, then this is voice commands, also known as Cortana integration. But once your app is launched, or whether you launch the app with voice commands or not, you have the option of using speech recognition, where now the user is going to provide more input. So it could be a full conversation, continuing from voice commands, or you could be asking questions to the user, or maybe it's going to be for dictation. In that case, this is what we call speech recognition or in-app speech recognition. Recognition can happen with or without the default UI. So as you can see on screen here, there's a default UI that's provided by Windows Phone. And that UI is that little pop-up that occupies like almost like the top half of the screen, that whenever you go into recognition mode, it says like listening. I'm currently listening. So it's a good prompt for the user to understand, first of all, that the phone is listening to them. They have the option to cancel or go from there. And the cool thing is also there's like a noise level as well. So if they're not talking and then they see that this little graph is like buzzing a lot, it tells you like there's a lot of background noise. So of course, needless to say, background noise will definitely reduce the quality of the voice the speech recognition. Using that UI is a good idea because it provides a very consistent experience for your users, but you don't have to. If you want to create your own user interface, or if you're trying to create an experience that's going to be a little more immersive, maybe following your brand or following the flow of your application, you can basically do recognition without popping that UI, and we're going to look at both examples in this module as well. Then next, we're going to look at constraints, also known as grammars. Grammars basically help you narrow down the list of what users can say. When you think about it, it's a very simple equation. You either recognize the entire language, but of course the rate of errors might be a little higher, so the accuracy is going to be a little lower, or you can say, I'm only recognize a subset of that language. And what that means is my chances of getting it right are going to be much higher. This is what we do with constraints. And again, this is all for Windows Phone 8.1 only for now until Windows 10 comes. Now, just like we covered in the text-to-speech, we need to have a capability to allow the speech SDK to work. This time, the microphone does make sense because all speech recognition actually goes through the microphone. So what that means is in your Windows Phone apps, any app that uses speech recognition will then need to have the microphone, just like you would already have it enabled if you wanted to use text-to-speech. You will get an access denied exception otherwise. So the first time you try to do this, if you get an access denied exception, it's a reflex right away. Don't feel bad. I make the mistake all the time. I create new apps and then, boom, access denied. I know, oh, I'm missing a capability. Of course, if you want to use default grammars as well, which are the ones that are used for open dictation, web search, since those can recognize the entire spectrum of the language you're using, whether it's English, French, Italian, German, or whatever, then you're going to need internet access, and therefore you're going to need the internet client server capability for that as well. Another thing that's really important is the privacy statement. Again, in the Microsoft world, we respect your privacy and we won't do anything with your data, including your voice. Your voice is part of who you are. We will not do anything or capture your voice until we have your consent. This is something that only has to be done once in the lifetime of a device. So the odds of your app encountering this error are actually quite slim. But of course, if a user gets a new phone, and then your app is the first thing they download.
Well, first of all, congratulations.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. You know, and not even Cortana or anything. If they just jump in, launch your app, they don't even launch Cortana. They launch your app first, and then they try to use speech recognition. Then you're going to get an exception. The exception is that the user has to accept the speech privacy statement. The way it works is the first time speech recognition is triggered, there's going to be a pop-up that's gonna, just like the one shown on screen here, that's gonna show the what can I say, and then there's a privacy statement that says if you accept, the words you speak and supporting data will be sent to provide only to improve the quality of the speech recognition service. It's all anonymous, but still, it's part of privacy, and we highly value your privacy and your user's privacy. So this means that the first time that a user tries to use any kind of speech recognition, including Cortana, they're gonna be presented with that pop-up. Once they've accepted, then you're good to go. You'll never get the exception again unless they wipe the phone or move to a new phone. So just to double check though, every app that uses speech recognition should check for that exception. So you can see the code on screen right here where there's a constant you can add, which is called the privacy statement decline. It's that code right here. And then all you have to do is whenever you catch an exception, you can check to see if the hResult matches that constant. Then it means the user either declined or never accepted it. Maybe it was never presented with the option. It's the same thing. So then you can present the dialog simply telling them, well, sorry, but unless you accept for us to capture your voice, we can't really do speech recognition with you. And that's it. So that's the privacy statement. Again, this is something that you will only deal with once in the lifetime of a device. So the chances of your app encountering this are pretty slim. Next comes the constraints. So as I explained, the constraints are basically there to either allow you to use the full spectrum of a language or to narrow down what can be said. There's two types of constraints you can use. There's the predefined grammars and there's custom grammars. The predefined grammars are basically there to It's the default, so the short message dictation is going to be used, for example, for any kind of dictation from the user, usually less than 10 seconds. So don't expect the user to start like reciting like, an entire text. This is not something that's there to allow you to type entire documents in a word processor, for example. You would have to do it in chunks. So short message dictation, as I said, usually 10 seconds is a max. Try to keep it shorter than that. And then there's the web search grammar. The web search grammar, very similar to the short message dictation, but the type of words that are used are more optimized for the kind of keywords people would do when they do a web search. So this is all handled by Bing in the cloud. You don't have to provide any parameters. You just choose one or the other so that if you're just allowing the user to dictate whatever they want, you would use short message dictation. But if it's something that's going to be used to trigger a web search, then it's encouraged to use the web search as well. Both will require an internet connection, of course, because we're using advanced heuristics and predictive algorithms in the cloud and machine learning algorithms and everything. So the cloud and Cortana and Bing all working together to bring you the best recognition possible. Now, if you want to really drastically increase the quality of your recognition, then you're going to use custom grammars. And custom grammars are basically constraints that allow you to narrow down what a user can say. There's two types of custom grammars you can use. There's the programmatic lists, also called phrase lists, and there's also the custom SRGS grammars. So let's look at some of those. Actually, first we're going to look at the basic recognition. So what we have on screen here is the basic code to do speech recognition. So as you can see, it's not very hard. What we have first is we create a speech recognizer. So just like we had a speech synthesizer, oh my God, I can't speak. Second language, that's my cop-out, you know? So now we have this speech recognizer. That's actually easier to say. And then we can define the topic constraint we want to use. So in this case, we're using a topic constraint of type web search. And we give it a name. We have to give a name to our constraint because then we can turn constraints on and off later if we want. Once we've created our constraint, we add it to the recognizer. And then finally, we have to compile the constraint. Very important, because if you don't compile it, it's like it's not really getting absorbed by the recognizer. Then to actually do the recognition, the default way of working is usually with the UI. So we simply call recognizer.recognizeWithUIAsync. So you should await that call to make sure that the user has a chance to respond. And then you're going to get your results back. Your results are going to come in the form of a speech recognition result. And from there, you can extract various things like the confidence, whether it was success, and the actual text that was recognized. Okay. So let's do a quick demo of the base recognition. This first demo is actually going to be quite simple. This one comes straight from MSDN. It's actually a demo that's called Speech Recognition and Text-to-Speech Quick Start. So let me just run it directly. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use an actual physical device here to do this. So let me just make sure that I can connect with this.
So you said that this is an MSDN? Sample?
Yeah, this is a sample that's in MSDN.
Okay, so if you want to find this sample, you just go to msdn.com, and on the very top, there's a link for samples, and there are hundreds of samples. You choose what language you're interested in, type in a search term, something like speech or whatever, and you're going to find lots of samples. And a lot of them are available in multiple languages, so you can download whichever one you want. And you can also just browse the code online. So if you just want to go look up, how did they do that? You just need to look at that one line. You don't even need to download it. Just go look at the code online.
Yeah, we actually have a lot of speech samples on MSDN. It's quite cool. So if you just go to MSDN samples, you can just type speech, and it's going to return a ton of results, some from Microsoft, some from the community. And then you can then filter out this way if you want Windows Phone 8 or Windows Phone 8.1. Be careful, okay, because speech recognition was introduced with Windows Phone 8, which means you can find a lot of Windows Phone Silverlight samples out there. So if you see any kind of sample that has namespaces for the recognizer that starts with system.something, yeah, you're in a .NET Silverlight sample. You want those that are part of Windows.media. Those are the namespaces for the recognizer. So these are the ones that you want. This one here is called the Speech Recognition and Text-to-Speech Quick Start. And it's linked also from the documentation. I'll show you an easy way to find the documentation after this as well. Actually, you know what? While I'm here, let me do that right now. So one quick way. One quick way of getting access is simply go to bing.com. If you go to bing.com/dev, like this, you're going to end up with the Bing Dev Center. And the Bing Dev Center has all these cool things like maps, app linking, search, but there's also a speech section. What you can do is click on speech, and then right here you have, let me zoom in, you have the documentation for speech on Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1. So on Windows 8.1, I would recommend that you only look at the speech synthesis namespace. The Bing speech recognition control is something that can be used today to do speech recognition, but come with Windows 10, you will have the same namespace as Windows Phone 8.1 from WinRT. So you should definitely focus more on Windows Phone 8.1 if you want to do speech recognition today on Windows Store. Well, with a Windows Store app. Windows Phone 8.1, you see you have links to speech for one-time API, voice commands, speech recognition namespace, and speech synthesis namespace. So it's a great way to quickly find the documentation for speech, because we have so many features in our SDKs that, yeah, it can be a little hard sometimes to find the right docs. Okay, so now what I have here is my phone, and this is the default sample. So for example, I can use the predefined dictation grammar. So this one is gonna use the open dictation. I can say whatever I want, and then when I click on it, it launches the sample. And then this one is gonna use with UI. So for example, I'm gonna go with, this is a test of the speech recognition that we are using during this recording.
Heard you say this is a test of the speech recognition that we are using during this week.
So I spoke a little too long there. I should have been a little faster, because it cut off the recording and it went with week instead. So I can go another one here. Yes. Welcome to this course on development with speech.
Heard you say welcome to discourse on development.
Oh, so you see now we have discourse instead of this course. Again, it probably the French-Canadian accent here, because I said this, like this.
Sure.
That's a French thing, you know. So I'll blame myself and not Cortana. So that's the recognition with UI. And there's also the web search as well, and we're going to look at a few more in here, but let me just show you the code behind this. It's pretty much the same code that we looked at on, there you go. So in this one here, my solution. So I have the speech recognition and TTS quick start. So you'll see there's all the different samples are here. So this one that we were using here is the predefined dictation grammar page. So the main page itself doesn't have much, everything, all the magic happens in the button here. So we can take a look here. So what do we have here? So speech recognition and TTS quick start. We have the recognize with dictation grammar click. So everything happens here. So we first start, we create a speech recognizer from the speech windows.media.speechrecognition. Okay, so again, if you find a sample that refers to system. I think phone or .microsoft or microsoft.something, these are Windows Phone Silverlight APIs. What you want are the ones in windows.media. And those are the WinRT samples and WinRT APIs. So we create a speech recognizer. Then immediately we're compiling the constraint here, because we're not actually changing the constraint. We're using the default constraint, which is the open dictation that's used by default. So we just compile it directly. And then we have this text block here that we're just making collapse. And then finally here, we start the recognition. So we call it Windows Media Speech Recognition, speech recognition result that we're going to get back. And we call await speech recognizer.recognize with UI async. Then we can go check, we get the results, the speech recognition result right here, which is a speech recognition result object. We can, first of all, you need to go check the status of your recognition. Did it work? Was it effective? Because maybe the user canceled it. Maybe you didn't catch anything. So you can check to make sure that it was successful. So you can check against speech recognition result status, success. Once you know you have a successful speech recognition, then what you can do is go extract the text out of it. So here we're going to speech recognition result.text. This is gonna be the actual string representation of what the user said, whatever was recognized. And that's it, you've got the recognition right there. This here is simply to check for the privacy statement, and this simply covers all other errors. So that's a fairly straightforward way of doing speech recognition. As you can see, with very little code, basically create a speech recognizer, compile a constraint, call the recognizer, check for results, and then check for success, and then check for the result. So what, 5 lines of code it took? So what, 3-4 lines of code to make the phone talk, 5 lines of code to recognize what the user said. I mean, these are really easy APIs to work with.
And a whole lot of code to make sure that it's a really good experience end to end.
Well, yes, of course. It's always said that the code may be simple, but once you turn it into a real world code, then there's exception handling, and there's going to be a great UI and an experience. So it goes beyond that. So that's the base of speech recognition and how to work with it. Next, we're going to start looking at how can we increase the quality of the recognition by using custom grammars and programmatic list grammars, or constraints. So the first one is programmatic list grammars. Programmatic list grammars, also known as phrase lists, basically allow you to kind of create like a preset list of things that a user can say. It's very similar to what Jeremy showed earlier in the VCD module, in module 3, when you basically had the option of either using a web search, but you could also provide a phrase list directly in your VCD. Now you have this option of creating a phrase list inside of the app. So that phrase list can be created either with static constants, it could be part of your resource files. so in fact, if you're doing international apps, they should be inside of resource files, or of course, they could be coming from a service in a cloud. So it's very lightweight, and the cool thing with this is that it works offline. So it's gonna be an array of strings, and your array of strings is gonna represent anything that the user can say. The thing though is there's no such thing as optional words in there. So if you wanna be able to recognize, for example, search the web, or find on the web, and if a user just says search web, well, chances are it might think like, you know what, it's close enough, so I'll probably allow it, but you might have to put one which is search the web, another entry would be search web, so there's no such thing as putting optional keywords. So you create a speech recognition list of constraint objects, and then you pass an array of string to it, and then after that, you add that object to the constraint collection of the recognizer. And the recognition is successful when the speech recognizer matches something. So whenever it goes into recognition mode, if it can actually match one thing that the user said to something that's on that list or close enough, then it will give you a successful recognition. So this is an example of a programmatic list right here where we're saying, let's say that you're asking the user a very simple question. You want to know if yes or no, they want to do something. So there could be you started a process, and then you need to ask the user, do you want to do this, yes or no? Or it could be like when earlier, when you sent me a text message, and then it said you received the text, you can say read it or ignore. There was just only two options there. So even if I had the worst accent in the world, or there was a lot of noise around me, it just needs to capture, read it, and ignore. And again, this is up to you as a developer. Don't use words that are too similar. Like, for example, read it and don't read it. That's not a good idea. You should really go for examples in a phrase list that don't sound at all alike. So here in this case, for example, we could look at just yes or no. But you never know. Maybe the user is going to go yes, no, yeah, yep, yippers, nope, no way. Are you kidding me? Stuff like that, you know? So kind of like the different ways that someone might say yes or no. This is all in English, of course. Throw in your own language in there. So once we've got all of our responses in a string array like this, then looking at the code here, we can see that we are now passing that list of responses to the speech recognition list constraint. We give it a name. We simply call it yes or no. Let me actually highlight this here. Whoop. No, I did not want to do this. Okay. How do I zoom in without...
Control 1 and then just wheel back.
Oh, okay. No, I wanted to be able to highlight, so let me do the same thing. I messed up everything now. Okay. Anyway, so right here we have the list constraint. We say that on a speech recognition list constraint, we pass in the responses. We give it a name of yes or no, because we'll be able to add multiple constraints if we want, and then we can turn them on and off, and then call them by name. This is kind of like the identifier for it. We can provide some examples. So that pop-up that's going to show up, that UI pop-up, you can show some examples to the user just to kind of give them some guidance on what are you expecting here. Well, we're expecting yes or no. So it's pretty simple. Then once we've created our constraint, we can then add it to the list of constraints on the recognizer and then compile the constraints asynchronously here. So good idea to await it.
Real quick, control 2 if you want to draw without zooming.
Oh, thank you. All right, so that's basically what I was looking for. So, see, Jeremy is such a veteran of MVAs, so that's why I decided to team up with him.
I'll tell you what, I know how to use a search engine.
Yeah. Okay, all right, I'll give you that one. Yeah, this is my first MVA after all, so, but not my first presentation.
You're doing good.
So, thanks, appreciate it. Okay, so now it's time to start the recognition. So, looking back at our code here, we have start recognition right here, where we simply say we're going to get a speech recognition result, and we simply call await recognize with UI async. There's also a recognize async, therefore without UI, and this way it's going to put the pop-up, it's going to await it, and then the user knows, oh, that's my cue, I have to say something here. Then after that, you can check for the result, or you can be a little more daring, like this piece of code right here, and go straight and grab the text and show it, but it's a good idea to check for the success first. Now, seeing if you have success is one thing, but it's also very important to make sure that you know how good is the recognition, basically how confident is the recognizer that it got it right. Because there's a lot of complicated algorithms that are running, and it's all based on probabilities, and the outcome of those probabilities is it will go and say, well, you know what, I'm very sure that I got it right, or I think I got it right, or you know what, probabilities are pretty low. Instead of having you deal with probabilities, you can go check something on the speech recognition result. You can go look at the recognition confidence. The confidence is going to give you 4 levels, high, medium, low, or rejected. Personally, if I see low, I try to ignore it. I'll usually treat low the same as rejected. There's other ways of dealing with it, though. If you see low, you can then maybe qualify it back to the user and ask for clarification or something like that, or just start over. If I see medium, I'll usually have a tendency to accept the recognition, but I'll try to give a hint to the user that, hey, you know what? I'll take it, but chances are it's possible that I might have gotten it right. So for example, if you look here at the slide, if you get high, I would say, you said, what is the weather in Newark tomorrow? But then if you got a medium confidence, I would say, I think you said, what is the weather in Newark tomorrow? So it's a very subtle change in the personality of your app, just to say like, hey, you know what? I'm trying to work with you here. I think you said that, but if I got it wrong, you know, don't blame me, you know? Maybe speak louder, speak clearer, or maybe with less noise or something, but I'm trying to work with you here. So let's look at another demo for this one. So for this next demo, we're going to use a programmatic lists. So let's stop. We're going to stop this first. We're going to look at programmatic lists. So this one is in a loop. It's actually quite a simple demo. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the outcome first of all. So do I have my screen app running? Let me kill it. Okay, hopefully it comes back. There we go. All right, so now, those are my kids. This is my live phone here I'm using, very risky. Okay, so what I'm gonna do is deploy this to a device. It's gonna send it to my phone. Let's show it here on screen. All right, so this one, very simple demo. It basically only accepts a very, very narrow list of animals. You say the name of an animal, it shows you a picture of the animal. So there's about 15 or so animals that are accepted, and it actually runs inside of a loop. So I can say, for example, dog, cat, boa,
rhinoceros.
Not sure what you said, please try again. See, that's the thing. If you try to say, it's still trying to recognize right now, and I'm saying nonsense, it's not showing anything.
Yeah.
So it basically keeps looping and saying, not sure what you said. So I'll just pause and then say something more meaningful like, puppy.
That's impressive. Not the puppy, but the technology.
Oh, but puppies are always great. And now again, it's going to say, not sure what you said. Please try again. Right? Is it going to? It's possible that the loop might freeze at some point. I think it did. Kitten. There you go.
That's impressive.
Yeah, kittens are great. I mean, kittens always get you higher scores in any presentation.
Yeah.
People love kittens. So, all right, there you go. So that's the... Let me show you how the code works for this. But you saw how the recognition was actually quite good. Even when you tried to derail it there with your rhinoceros.
Yeah.
And then when I started like talking on top of it and everything. So there's different ways you can deal with this. But phrase lists or programmatic lists are great for that because they really narrow down what you can say. And then it just goes like, you know what? If you say anything outside of that, I just won't allow it. So again, in this case... There was also a speech synthesis. I disabled it in this case, so it wouldn't talk on top of me. But you use the Windows Media Speech Recognition. I initialize a recognizer object. Well, I create the object here. And then in my unnavigated to, what I do is I first create this dictionary, where this is where I have all these images, and I'm basically matching the words that are accepted to the actual images. So if I said boa or snake, I'm obviously showing the same picture. Or in the case of guinea pig, there's a space in guinea pig in what's recognized, but there's no space in the file. So this is basically just a mapping between words and images. So this goes in my dictionary called image files. So I create a speech synthesizer, but I did not use it. I commented that part in the demo. Here I create a new speech recognizer. And then this is where I'm creating my constraints. So I have a string array of animals, and this is where I'm putting all the different words that can be said. So this is my programmatic list. Boa, snake, bunny, rabbit, canary. Yeah. Bird, cat, dog, etc. And then what I do is I create a list constraint from this. So I say speech recognition list constraint from my list of animals, and then I give it a name called animal pick. This is the name of my constraint. And then I get a new constraint out of this, and then I simply add that constraint to my recognizer, and then I compile my constraint. For the recognition, right here, so this is just to deal with the continuous recognition here. While the recognition is enabled, let me just move it here like this. There you go. First of all, in this case, I'm actually not even looking at a success. I could have looked at success first. I'm just going straight for the speech recognition result. So I first get it via recognize async. Notice how I did not use a UI in this app. Because it was all about just saying the animals and showing the photo, I felt like I didn't have to show the UI all the time. But again, it's a good idea if you can show. I didn't know at some point if it was still listening to me. So that's not a great UI for that. It'd be good if there was a little pop-up that says, or a little string that says listening or done and something like that. So I do recognize async. And then I immediately look at the confidence. And see how if I get low or rejected, immediately my result is going to be not sure what you said, please try again. If I don't get that, then I check to see if I got high confidence. If I got high confidence, I say my feedback is going to be showing the, and then I go read directly the speech recognition text and then photo. And then if it's medium, so it's not low, rejected, or high, therefore it's medium, I say I think you want the puppy photo or the something like that. So this is how I would deal with scenarios where I might say something that's a little, did you say puppy or guppy or, you know, something like that. and then finally, this is just my code that basically extracts the image file. So I basically go get to my images folder, get my file image path based on the recognition result. I open the file asynchronously. I create a new bitmap. And then I finally set it as my source for my stream. And this is how I just show the picture on screen. Here, this is where I check for my privacy statement. So pretty straightforward. Again, it's the same code that you saw earlier. And that's it. You saw how with not much code, I was able to create an app that basically does speech recognition. And the cool thing is you can actually have multiple grammars like this, where at one point you're asking for animals, another point you're asking yes or no. So you can mix and match grammars like this, and we're going to talk about this shortly as well. So, moving right along, Let's now talk about custom grammar. So this was one form of custom grammar, the programmatic lists, but now we're going to talk about truly, truly custom grammars. Those are the grammars where if you want to really push the envelope, if you want to have all these options of having some optional words, maybe different combinations of those words together, and maybe sometimes it could be just a few words or more words, but if you were to create all the different possibilities in a programmatic list, it would become way too big. So custom grammars are actually based on a standard from the W3C known as SRGS, or the Speech Recognition Grammar Specification. And so this is a W3C standard that is fully supported by Microsoft. And it works with Windows Phone 8.1, will come to Windows 10 as well. And it's also an XML document, so kind of like the VCD that you created in the last module, but this time it's just about in-app speech recognition. There's no notion of deep linking or putting like examples or things like that. It's purely about how can you mix and match the words. So if you have a very advanced scenario, or at some point if you start building your programmatic list and you realize my list is just getting way too big, then it's time to switch to an SRGS grammar. And also, it works offline. So that's the cool thing. So why would you use SRGS? If you want to specify the order in which the words are and phrases must be spoken, if you want to combine words from multiple lists and phrases, if you want to link to other grammars as well, so it's a good way sometimes if you have multiple apps, you can start reusing grammars from other apps and link to them. The cool thing also, you can assign a weight or to an alternative word. So it will have more probability to recognize one word over another. If based on user testing, you realize that people say this more often, but sometimes they say this, you can start tweaking it this way. It's very powerful. You can include optional words and phrases, which I think really highly affects the quality, because I can say open door, or I can say open the door. And some people might say the, other people might not. It depends. Usually the more computer savvy people understand that you stick to the commands, the general public might go with pure natural language processing. And also, you might want to use special rules, and you can also specify pronunciations either in line or in a grammar as well. So, this is an example of an SRGS grammar. So what we have on screen right here, on the right, is an XML document, which is a grammar file. Every grammar file has a root element, always. And then you start defining your different rules. So you see, for example, right here, we have the first rule ID is called, the root is called play commands. And play commands says that you have a play action, then you have the in between, and then you have a file words that follows. And a play action can be either play, start, begin, one of play, start, or begin. And then the file words would be one of song, tune, track, or item. So with this SRGS grammar now, the user can say, play the tune, start the item, begin the song, play the track. And of course, this one actually forces you to say the, but there's also a way, and I'll show you another grammar afterwards, where we can make the optional. So you can just say play song, play track, start tune, stuff like that. And then the cool thing is that you can standardize with a tag to basically allow the users that whatever they say, you can say, no matter what the output is, just output the word song. So even if they said tune, track, or item, the tag output should be song. So that whenever I do my recognition, just feed me song, and that's what I understand. okay, so if you want more information on creating this, we have documentation at aka.ms/creategrammar that gives you more explanations on a deep understanding of how the grammars can be structured, what elements are allowed, and things like that. Once you've created your grammar, you need to load it at startup. So that means you're going to have to, right here again, you create a speech recognizer. And then right here, you're going to load from application URI async. You said control 2, right?
Yes.
Okay, so right here, oh, there you go. Get file from application URI async. This is where we load our grammar. Oh, I'm going to mess this up completely, but this is fun. And then and then after that, we simply call speech recognition grammar file constraint. We pass a storage file. We give it a name. In this case, we call it colors. And then we get a file constraint out of it. We provide a UI option because we're going to use the recognition with UI. We compile, we then add our grammar file constraint to our recognizer constraints list, and then we finally compile the constraints. Then at this point, the recognition is the same as what we did before. So escape, oh, yay. All right, let's look at custom grammars. So for custom grammars, let me show you a couple examples. So let me go back to the quick start that's already on MSDN today. So you can look at right here, for example, I have a grammar here for like SRGS, yes, no. So this is an example of how you would accept yes or no. Rule ID, yes or no. And then one of, yes, yeah, yep, yep, uh-huh, yeah, yes. I don't know what that one means.
Doesn't make any sense to me either.
Yeah, and then for nope, it was basically one of, no, nope, nah, uh-uh. This is kind of confusing, like, uh-huh, and uh-uh, I don't know. Not a good example here. So this is the yes, no, and then there's also another one with colors right here. The colors one is kind of cool because it allows you to mix and match things like a background and a border and text, and then you can choose a color chooser where you can basically specify either a background color, a border color, and then you can repeat them the way you want. And then it shows you all the different colors that are supported: red, orange, yellow, brown, green, cyan, purple, magenta. So if I run this, let me just unlock my phone here, restart this. Okay. And then run this on my device. Okay, so now if I go with, for example, an SRGS grammar file constraint, this one here, I can give different combinations of colors and border or text or background. So for example, if I want to go continuous here, gray text, red background, white background, yellow border, blue text. So it basically goes through a lot of combinations like this, and it might say, like, didn't get it now? Yeah, it's still trying to understand what I said, and that's where you can get some unexpected results here. If they probably, the sample here was probably accepting low quality recognitions, which is usually not recommended. That's why low recognition, usually good idea to ignore it. Let me show you another example of a cool way of using SRGS. This is a grammar that I've created for a little project I'm working on. You remember these old adventure games from the 80s? So where you would just type text on screen, it would show text to you, and then it would basically, you would have to read the text, there was no graphics, and if you wanted to say, like, go north, enter the house, and walk down the path. So I figured this would be great to actually play these games completely hands-free, and eyes-free as well. You don't even have to look at the screen. So I did a little prototype here, and it's basically just a recognition itself. So if I look at, I call it text adventure, and what I have here is an SRGS command that's a little more advanced. So first of all, my top level, my root is top level, and my top level says that it's gonna be one of either a general action, a move action, or a game command. So for example, what is a general action? So a general action is gonna be, first of all, it's gonna look at verbs. And then, so it's going to accept one verb, followed by 0 or 1. See, this is how you can make an optional item. 0 or 1 of under, over, in, inside, on top of the and then followed by a thing. And then followed by 0 or 1 of using, with, under, over, in, inside, on top of, at, the, my, and followed by another thing. Now, what are the verbs and things? So you probably recognize what you can do with those games. You can say open, close, read, examine, look, proceed, take, pick up, get, grab. So you can see here how if you were trying to create a phrase list from this, it would get really complicated fast. And then, because there's a lot of different things here. And what are the things you can do? It could be things like a mailbox, a leaflet, a window, house, table, sword, axe, troll. Yeah, troll. Open dictation, the word troll doesn't show up. Even though they're very common on the internet, No, the word troll just didn't show up. Around knife, door, forest. So what's the result of all this? If I run this, so for example, a move action would be move and then a direction. And then after that, I can say under, over, in, inside on the things. So now let me run this on my device to give you a little sample of what you can do with this to do more advanced recognition. Okay, so this one, it's not in a loop. I have to click it every time. Go north.
I think you said, go north.
Climb up the tree.
You said, climb up the tree.
Kill the troll with the sword.
You said, kill the troll with the sword.
Hide under the table.
You said, hide under table.
Close enough. Oh, I was not recognizing, because if I had said, like, what can I say here? I'm really confused.
Not sure what you said. Please try again.
So I was way off here, so therefore it doesn't even accept it. So you can see here how SRGS can create some really powerful recognition. And any kind of voice accent would be able to play with this, and it's quite cool. So that's... Now go to some of the quick tricks you can use to optimize your speech recognition. First of all, you can work with multiple grammars and you can mix and match. So you can use, for example, you cannot mix and match custom and default grammars. So you either use a default grammar or you use a combination of custom grammars, but you cannot say open dictation and phrase list. But you can have multiple phrase lists and multiple grammar constraints using SRGS. And then what you can do is, you saw how it's easy to create a grammar either from a phrase list or from a SRGS file, add it to a constraint, and then you add your constraint to a collection of constraints on the recognizer. And then after that, what you can simply do is go, every constraint is gonna have a setting called, is enabled property. So you can then simply go and turn on a property, turn on is enabled, turn off is enabled, so that you can just activate the grammar that you need based on the context where you are within the application. So, and that's much more efficient than at runtime constantly compiling grammars, adding them, and then doing another one. You should just do all of your grammars at once, provided they're not based on dynamic content, of course. And then after that, simply enabling and disabling the grammars that you need using the isEnabled property. You will get much better accuracy. So if you're asking the user for a yes-no question, then at that moment, the only thing that should be allowed is that phrase list that was just about yes-no. And then if you're asking for a color, then just show them one for a color. So don't activate both the color and the yes-no, because at some point it might get a little confused on some colors if they match yes or no or something like that. Next, we have the, you can play with timeouts. On the speech recognizer, we actually have a bunch of speech recognizer timeouts. And on this, you can find the babble timeout, the end silence timeout, and the initial silence timeout. So the first one easy to understand is the end silence. The end silence is how long does the recognizer wait until it doesn't hear words anymore before it goes and says, okay, you're done talking, I'm doing the recognition. The initial silence is actually more like if your user have a tendency to kind of freeze, like if when you do your user testing and you notice people like don't know what to say right away and they need more time to think about it, then you can extend the initial silence timeout so that it will allow that silence before they start talking, and then after that it will do the recognition. So of course the silence is not going to be recognized, it's just going to be taken into consideration to make sure that it doesn't immediately say like, not sure what you said. So, highly recommended to allow the users to tweak these settings. An even better app would start, if the user never says anything and you're constantly getting silence, you can then maybe help them and say, hey, it looks like you're hesitating. Do you want me to maybe speak slower, or maybe to give you more time to speak? Or if people speak very slowly and they have a tendency to stop their thoughts and then add an extra word and continue, then tweaking the initial silence might help. The babble timeout is supposed to be there to help you deal with non-verbal noise. Basically, any kind of background noise that could be in the background, or if somebody is just like mumbling a bunch of things before they say their command, it's like, what am I looking for here? And then search the web. And then if it recognizes a lot of these words before that are kind of intelligible, the Babel timeout will be a little more flexible in allowing that time of nonsense at the beginning. And then finally, we have managing audio input issues. This is where, if at some point you really want to have a better experience, you can tell that you have a way of knowing if the user is running into issues with their speech recognition. So you have an event called the recognition quality degrading event that you can play with. And this is where you can access a property called problem. So it will basically raise an event called recognition quality degrading. And then you can go check the problem. And it will tell you, for example, if there's no audio, that's like the generic error, or there's too much background noise, or there's no audio, like in a sense that maybe the microphone was muted by the user, or maybe the input volume is too high, too low, the user spoke too fast, too slowly, things like that. The recognizer is smart enough to tell you about these things. And then you can maybe give a prompt to the user and say, hey, it looks like there's no input. Maybe did you check your microphone? Is it on right now? Or we have trouble hearing you. Try to speak up. Speak closer to your phone. Or maybe you're in an environment that's way too noisy. Try to find a more quiet space to work with. Finally, a couple quick notes here. First of all, we're going to talk about their speech recognition and globalization. So taking your app across the world to audiences in different countries and different languages. First of all, don't assume you users speak your language. So that means Americans should not assume everybody speaks English, and Germans should not assume that everybody speaks German. And German is not very good. I tried learning once, but I really have to get back to it. And then what you could do, first of all, is if you're using programmatic lists, then put your programmatic list inside of language-specific resource files. So resource files are there for translation purposes. So by putting all your English lists into an English US resource list, into a resource file, and then another one for German, another one for French, Italian, Spanish, and so on, then by loading the proper resources, then your programmatic list will have the proper strings in there to do recognition. The custom grammars, just like the VCD, could basically have multiple command sets in there. Well, in the case of an SRGS file, there's not really any such thing as a multiple command sets by language, but what you could do is simply have multiple SRGS files for each language, one for each language. And then based on the culture that's set in the application in the phone, you can then load the proper SRGS file at runtime. If you want more information on globalizing your app, I forgot to aka.ms that one. So I'll, sorry about that. You'll have to click the link or take a photo of the screen right now, or if you have a really good memory, or you can just search for it on Bing. And then finally, if we look at a very quick recognition of the speech recognition features across platforms, as you can see, the it doesn't look so good for iOS here, because unfortunately, speech recognition is just not allowed for developers in iOS. People will say, well, wait, I can talk to Siri, right? Yes, Siri is there to help you, but inside of your app, developers don't have an SDK on iOS to do speech recognition. Android does. Same number of languages, not exactly the same ones, I think. They can both work offline. They can both work with Open Dictation, but only Windows Phone supports programmatic lists, and only Windows Phone supports SRGS. Windows Store has a Bing control, as I said, it's available, but I would highly encourage you to wait until Windows 10, when you will get the same capabilities of speech recognition on Windows 10 as you get today on Windows Phone 8.1. So if you want to get started with app development, start with Windows Phone 8.1 today, and everything that you build will be usable in Windows 10, even with Windows Store apps. So that's it. So this module, we basically looked at in-app speech recognition, how you can use it in your apps once the app has taken over. We have looked at multiple constraints like grammars, like programmatic lists, custom SRGS grammars from the W3C, how to optimize your speech recognition, and also how to globalize your applications, and finally a quick look at how things stack up against iOS and Android. So
it has a lot of content.
That was a lot of content. Yeah, it's speech is fun. You can. I think it's clear by now that when you combine all these things together, you can create some really advanced applications.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a short 10-minute break, and then when we come back, Jeremy is going to talk to us about best practices and how to build great apps that use speech.
See you then.
See you then.